guess about who we are, because he knows us. Even better than we know ourselves, he knows us. And our scripture this morning is two of them, and we're going to connect them here in a minute. But the first scripture is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And the second scripture comes from Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At the time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they went, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and dragging off men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Then verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to gather this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you know our name and you know who we are, Lord, and you know what we're capable of. And we thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to be a part of you, that you have allowed us to be made whole in you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you use us, Lord, for the upbuilding of your kingdom. We ask you, Lord, as we gather this morning, you be with us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Speak through us, Lord. Open our hearts and minds that we might receive your word, and having received that we might obey your word. In your son Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about go. Go. And it sounds like a simple thing, because the instruction Jesus gave sounded pretty simple. And they were pretty simple. They were pretty direct, and they were pretty simple. And it was really kind of all-encompassing. And sometimes when we get instructions like that, we always sit around and waiting for more detail. But Matthew records that Jesus gave them the instructions just to go and make disciples. Now, Luke records it a little different in the first chapter of Acts in verse 8, but he records his more as a prophecy. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So Luke says, you still got to go, but I'm going to give you some power to go with you. So I'm going to be there. But Jesus had already told them, I'm with you to the end of the age. So Jesus gave a clear instruction to all of his disciples, and he told them what he wanted them to do, to go to all of the nations and preach his word. Now the real question is, what happened? Now he said go, but what happened? Now the recording in the book of Acts is that they started off in Jerusalem. Now he did say they would start in Jerusalem. He told them to wait there for the Holy Spirit. So they did that. And then when the Holy Spirit did come, when they did get the power, Luke records that 3,000 souls were added in one day to the 120 that started out. So the believers grew. And as they grew, they also taught, so that the disciples started to mature. So God had had added to his church, and then the scripture said he kept on adding to the church. He didn't stop with just those 3,000. He kept adding, and scripture says he added daily. Now notice what it says. God added to the church. Now their instruction was to go and make disciples, but they didn't have to build the church, because God was going to do the building of the church. All they had to do was teach the ones that he brought. But they had to go get them, but then they had to teach them. They go and get them, and they teach them. But God decides who it is that they're going to get. In other words, when they preached on the day of Pentecost, the whole city was full, and everybody in the city heard, but only 3,000 of them believed. So you're not going to get everybody that you go after, but you're going to get the ones that he intends for you to get. But in order to get what he intends for you to get, you got to go. So he told them to go, but they hung around Jerusalem. He told them to go, and they hung around Jerusalem. So God started giving them signs and wonders. So they started having signs and wonders. They had a lame man that had been sick for 40 years. God then raised up and got him walking. They had other people that had been sick, and God is healing people. And because God is working through them, the Sanhedrin got jealous, and then they started persecuting them. But they didn't do much at first. They just threatened them a whole lot. They let them know that they didn't appreciate what they was doing. But they had the sense enough to know that they should obey God and not man. They had the sense enough to know that they should obey God and not man. So they kept on doing what God told them to do. And the church grew to over 5,000. Now they've gone from 123, now they're over 5,000, because they've been met a little bit of resistance. But they had a problem. God told them to go. Now he said Jerusalem to start with, but then he said Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of the earth. But they were still in Jerusalem. Everybody still in Jerusalem. He told them to go. Everybody's still in Jerusalem. Now they were growing in Jerusalem some, and it looked like it was good numbers. But I can tell you there was more numbers outside of Jerusalem than in Jerusalem. There was way more numbers outside of Jerusalem than in Jerusalem. Now, if they're going to reach the masses, they can't stay in Jerusalem, can they? But they're still in Jerusalem. They're so much in Jerusalem, and they've been worshiping good, and servants have been good. But then, not only are they getting persecution from outside, they started developing conflict from inside. Uh-oh. So now they're fighting each other. They're supposed to be going out, but they stuck inside. And because they stuck inside, now they're fighting each other. That's how we got deacons. They had to put down the fight. The deacons came to keep the peace. And they had to keep the peace because it was starting to get crowded, because everybody couldn't have their way because everybody was still in Jerusalem. They still in Jerusalem. Jesus said, go. And he told them, I want you to go to all nations. He said, you're going to start in Jerusalem, but then you got to go to Judea and Samaria and then the utmost parts of the earth. But they still in Jerusalem. Now, there might have been some reasons why they stayed in Jerusalem. And now, they was doing good in Jerusalem. They was rejoicing. They was having good service. But Jesus said to go. So maybe it was because things were going so great and good things was happening. See, instead of them going to all those places, people were bringing sick people from Judea to Jerusalem to get healed. Now, God was healing them and God was saving them. But he said to go. But they in Jerusalem, and they're bringing the people to Jerusalem. They're not going where the people at. They're bringing the people to Jerusalem. He said, go get them. But they're bringing people to Jerusalem. And so Maybe it's because the people were coming to them, so they didn't think they needed to go to the people. People already coming to us. We don't have to go because they're coming to us. We don't have to go get nobody. Maybe because they was comfortable, because they got used to dealing with each other. They didn't want to have to deal with nobody new. They liked the people that they already had, so they didn't see where they had to be able to make no new friends. They liked the ones they already got. Maybe it's because they was waiting for somebody else to do it. Maybe they didn't need to go because they knew those apostles, they're going to go and do that for us. And now we got those deacons, they're going to go and do it for us. But we don't have to go because they're going to go for us. They're going in our place. Maybe they weren't sure how to go and do it. Maybe because they didn't really have an idea of how to go and do it. But he said, be a witness. Now, I think brother told you last week, just go tell your story. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Now, I think every one of us can tell our own story. We don't have to tell somebody else's story. We can tell our story. A witness tells their story. They tell what they know. So maybe they didn't know how to do it. And maybe it's because if they went, they might run into somebody that don't look like them. They may have to reach outside of who they are and where they are and talk to somebody that thinks different or looks different or acts different or grew up someplace where they didn't grow up. So God acted. Because they wouldn't act, God acted. God acted. God acted because they wouldn't act. Since they wasn't going, God act. And he didn't have to do much. All he had to do was just let Satan loose just a little bit. He just turned him loose just a little bit. And you wonder how Satan got loose. He turned loose, and then he went out and enraged the people, and they stoned old Stephen. Stephen preached a sermon. He was just a deacon, but he preached a sermon, and they stoned him to death. And then once they stoned him, that got them going, and they decided they'd go get the rest of them. It wasn't too hard to find them. They all in Jerusalem. So they started looking for them. And as they started looking for them, guess what they did? They did what most people did. They started running scared. They finally did what God told them to do when they started. So now they're starting to leave Jerusalem. They're starting to leave Jerusalem. And guess where they went? Everywhere. They went everywhere. Where he told them to go in the first place? Everywhere. So he had to cause a little bit of disruption there to get them to go. And they went everywhere. And then some amazing things happened when they went everywhere. When they went everywhere, they realized that Jesus was still with them wherever they went. He said he would be. So as they went, they realized that Jesus keeps his word. He said, I'm with you to the end of the world. And so as they went, they realized he was still with them. They also realized that the people that they met other places needed salvation too. So as they went, they realized those people needed salvation too. So they looked around them as they went, and they noticed that they had found something that God had blessed them. And then they realized those people need that too. And so they thought they'd go ahead and share with them. And as they went, they realized that they were still a child of God living in his love. No matter where they went, they realized they were still a child of God. So they didn't have to be there in Jerusalem in order to be a child of God. They could be a child of God wherever they went. They didn't start being a child of God stop being a child of God because they went somewhere else. They was a child of God wherever they went. In the neighborhood, they was a child of God. In the church, they was a child of God. When they went to work, they was always a child of God. And then something else happened to them. Because they were a child of God, they couldn't help but praise and worship him. because they was a real child of God. They couldn't help but praise and worship him. It was in them, so it had to come out. They couldn't pretend. Every time God was good to them, they had to say hallelujah. Every time God blessed them and got them out of something else, they had to say thank you, Jesus. And so they couldn't help but be a child of God, and they couldn't help but praise and worship him. So they had to learn, though. They did have to learn how to share with other people who he was and what he meant to them. And they had to learn that some of the people that they shared with was going to hear. They had to learn that not all of them was going to hear, but some of them would. They had to learn that somebody did want what they had. And so they wasn't waiting any longer. God had put the pressure on them. They weren't waiting any longer. God had put it on them. And so now they realized that God could continue to work with them as they went. And as you read, wherever they went and preached, guess what? People got saved. Just like they did in Jerusalem. They didn't have to be in Jerusalem for it to happen. Wherever they went, people got saved. When I was a student in the seminary, one of the classes I took was about worship. And one of the jobs we had to do, one of our assignments was to attend a lot of different worship services and see how the worship was done. And I did that. But there was something else that I learned, because I had another class coming up that talked about serving God in the 21st century and building his church in the 21st century. But one of the things I noticed is that as I was visiting all those churches, more and more I noticed that most of the heads look a lot like mine. Either the hair was gray or was missing or was turning gray. It didn't really matter what kind of church I went to. They mostly looked a lot like me. And God spoke to my heart and said, yeah, that's a problem. They ain't been going. The folks ain't coming in because we ain't going out. They got used to being where they were. And they started to think that God's church is a building. Well, yeah, most people think that God's church is a building. So a lot of them trying to figure out, can they still worship him because they can't come to a building? And then you got others that are defying orders and they come and pack in the building because they think that's the only way that they can reach the Lord. But God's church is a people. God's church is a people, not a building. We worship in this building, but God's church is his people. And his church is everywhere his people is. So if I'm on a mountaintop, I can worship him. If I'm down in the valley, I can worship him. If I'm in the depths of the sea, I can worship him and be a part of God's church. Because it's a people. Jesus said, I'll build my church, but he wasn't talking about a building. He's talking about a people. And if his people will do what he said do, he'll build his church. So the question is, are we going to stay in Jerusalem? Or are we going to go? Yes, he done give us a hard time. Yes, a little bit of difficult has been put in our way. Yes, things are a little bit tough. But it was for them too. Do you not realize that Jesus came at just the right time? He came at just the right time. As it turns out, had he come any other time, things wouldn't have worked out. See, God was working ahead of him even before he got there. I know people think, look at what he did. He had the Greeks take over most of the world. How's that a good thing, Lee? Well, what it did was, because the Greek was kind of self-centered, they made sure everybody learned a little bit of Greek. You know what that did? That gave a good part of the world a common language. And then after the Greeks, he had the Romans take over most of the world. And the Romans, they were kind of greedy too, but they wanted to make sure that everybody could get to Rome. You know what they did? They built roads all over the world to make travel real easy. They wanted travel to be real easy. See, they thought they was building it for them, but they was really building it for him. They thought it was doing it for them, but they was building it for him. So when Jesus came, guess what? He didn't want to just reach Jerusalem. He wanted to reach the whole world. So when he came, now he had the ability that when he sent people out, it was going to be easy for them to go over the whole world. Because guess what? They had roads to go on. And when they went, if they knew a little bit of Greek, guess what? Everybody else knew a little bit of Greek. So no matter where they went, they could communicate to the people where they went. He planned it. It didn't just happen. He planned it. Guess what he's done for us? He knew that this thing was coming. So back in the 90s, he started this thing called the internet. And he put that thing out there. And then he kept on developing technology. And he kept on, and he got it to where you could stream stuff anywhere. And where every church that they wanted to can have a channel of their own. So that people could worship no matter where they were. And they could actually get together. And he built things like Facebook. And I know we think it was for them, but it was for him. He built Instagram. It wasn't for them. It was for him. And Twitter. It wasn't for them. It was for him. Why? So we could communicate no matter where we are and no matter what we're doing. We could communicate with everybody else. So there is no shutting down this church because it's only expanding. The real issue. Are we going to use the tools he's given? Are we going to do what he has said for us to do? Are we going to set and let Satan win? I'm scared. But he said they're coming for you even no matter where you are. So the real thing to get the reward is to do what Jesus said and go. John 15 and 16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And appointed you that you should do what? Go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain." So he's going to make sure that you're successful. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Guaranteed success. He said, I created you to go, and I've guaranteed your success. So all you got to do is go. Why? Because you didn't choose yourself. He chose you. He sent you. Just like the Father sent him, he sent you. God is waiting for his people to go. What's crazy is we think we're waiting on him, and he's waiting on us. Amen. Amen. There might be somebody who's not yet went. They haven't went because they've not yet been sent. See, you can't be a part of his church until you believe on him. You can't be a part of his church until you've made him Savior and Lord. See, you got to be a child of God wherever you are. And you can only do that if you got him with you. If you got him with you, there ain't nothing that can beat you. If you got him with you, you're conquering all things. If you got him with you, it doesn't matter how high the mountain or how deep the valley. You got him with you, then you're going to make it.